The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Extra Show Mr. Robert Richardson, the Chief Executive of the Institute of Hospitality, and Mr. Mark Lowry, the MD of 26 Recruitment. On today's Extra Show, we're going to be discussing careers, work and recruitment in the hospitality industry. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Show. Thank you for joining us.
Afternoon.
Cool. Can I kick off Robert first? Robert, can you just give us an overview of the Institute of Hospitality, what it is? I guess it's a trade association. Who you represent?
Sure. So the Institute of Hospitality in various forms has been going for more than 80 years. We are the global professional body for our industry. Our reason for being is to promote development and learning amongst our members and our greater industry. And currently, as I sit here, we have over 13,500 members, with about a quarter of those being overseas.
Okay, cool. And from a hospitality point of view, just to kind of set the scene, what kind of organisations form the core of membership of the Institute?
We're eclectic. We take hospitality by definition is a very hospitable industry. So you have hotels, restaurants, recruiters, etc., etc. And the Institute of Hospitality welcomes all of those into their membership.
Fantastic. And we're also joined by Mark Lowry. Mark is the MD of 26 Recruitment. Mark, just give us an overview of your organisation and what it is you do. I guess it's what it says on the tin. You're a recruitment company.
Yes, that's right, Paul. We are. So my name is Mark. I'm the managing director and business owner of 26 Recruitment. We are catering and hospitality specific. We don't tend to venture into anything else. That is our specialism. Been trading now for about 8 years. And excited really to still be around and still come out the other end of this trying year that we've just had. So yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And like so many industries, the recruitment industry has been hit badly. In 2020, I don't know what your experiences were, but mine were that, you know, obviously the jobs dried up as everybody was sent home to work and furloughed and what have you. So a lot of the recruitment industry came under pressure. But let's talk about hospitality. And I want to start off by talking about, I'm going to make a statement here, and I want both of you to tell me how you feel about this. But it seems to me that hospitality is an industry, when you talk to young people at school, or college, university, it isn't the first kind of industry that people think about looking for a career. And in fact, if you talk to people in the careers industry, it's not something they talk about a lot. And I'd like your views on that.
Okay, well, I'll kick off, if I may. I openly honestly fell into hospitality as a career. I left school and wasn't 100% sure what I wanted to do. So whilst I figured that out, I got a job as a Saturday boy in a hotel restaurant. And I suddenly found that there was this wonderful industry open in front of me that had so many different pockets to it. And I progressed up the ranks and qualified as a chef. I got into management and I stayed in it ever since. And I think that there isn't the visibility around hospitality as an industry. Certainly in Kent, where we're all based, I think representation in education is poor. Yeah. But I think once we bring people into it, they don't want to leave. A scheme that I ran previously to my role in the Institute of Hospitality was called Inspiring Hospitality Talent. And we took school-aged children who were about to leave school and we brought them into hospitality businesses. And every single person we brought in turned around and said they didn't realise how eclectic and how diverse hospitality is. Yeah. A school down in Kent a couple of years ago ran a very successful restaurant and it was operated by students. And one day the business that ran the school closed the restaurant because it didn't fit in with their direction of travel. And I thought, and I was quite outspoken at the time, that that was criminal. So no, to answer your question, we don't shout about hospitality and education.
Right. Okay. Mark, your view on how you see the industry as a specialist recruiter in this marketplace?
You know, we often sort of talk about this really about our industry because like Robert said, it is incredibly diverse and they are a different breed of people that work within it. They are a different breed of people. However, I don't think it's treated seriously. by us in this country. I think if you go to Europe and you talk to somebody that, or even America, and you talk to somebody who is waiting tables, or they're a restaurateur or whatever, they are serious about that. That is their career path, and they are trained and they are treated seriously, and they are treated with respect. Whereas over here, it's seen as a sideline for the majority. Yeah. Back of house might be slightly different, certainly through the brigades of the chef brigade, where they get that formal training and coaching and stuff. But certainly front of house, I think it's seen as a little job on the side. I think that is backed up by the fact that the hospitality industry was treated so poorly during the last year, which we'll probably get onto at some stage during the interview. But and the fact that when it was lobbied in Parliament to have representation within the Houses of Parliament, within the Commons for hospitality, it was rejected. Yeah. And that sends the message all the way through, doesn't it? That absolutely, this industry isn't being treated seriously as absolutely a profession.
I think you've nailed it there. That one of the problems is that it isn't treated seriously by a lot of people and a lot of organisations and a lot of institutions. We tend to have this strange view as well of education in this country, where college and university tend to focus on one set of things and ignore whole rafts of other things because they maybe don't require academic skills. You know, one of the things about hospitality is it's a people orientated industry. What it requires is people skills, empathy, emotional intelligence, and all those kind of things, the kind of things that schools and colleges don't pay any attention to at all, really. So they kind of, Robert. Yeah.
Something, just picking up Mark's point about government. So pre-COVID, the UK hospitality industry created 130 billion in economic activity every year.
Yeah.
You would think the Chancellor of the Exchequer would be the first person saying we need that back.
It's amazing, really, isn't it, how little attention is paid to it when it's an industry that we all use as customers on almost a daily basis. You know, you go to a pub, you go to a restaurant, you go and stay in a hotel. You do that on an incredibly frequent basis, and probably 90% of the population do that on a frequent basis. Yeah, everybody goes, it's just hospitality, whatever. We'll shut that down in a minute.
It's so true.
It's just weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so true. And I think when you twin it with the fact that, I mean, you look at the pre-pandemic figures for 2019, the UK economic output, it contributed 3% to the, I mean, that's a massive amount of money in this sector. Yeah. And yet the salaries, the earnings, the way people are treated in terms of hours expected to work, it's almost archaic. It hasn't changed in all the years that I've been involved in. I mean, I was in overseas leisure for 10 years, and then I've spent almost 15 years in recruitment. And in my time in recruitment, the salaries for hospitality have changed.
Right.
I'm out there now working for the same money that they was working for 15, 20 years ago. Okay. And until that changes, until they come up with a package that is reflective of the work that they do, and it's a really interesting point that you made, because it's non-academic, because it's vocational, it's treated, it sits further down the food chain, and that can't happen. Because we all like to go out in some form or another at some point during the week, and that's where you interact with hospitality. So it does need more of a platform.
Absolutely. It's an interesting thing, though, isn't it? And I've got friends that own independent hotels and things like that. And we've quite often talked about salary levels in the market. And I think, Mark, you've kind of hit the nail on the head at a point there, that a lot of people assume that the bottom end of the hospitality market, you know, the waiting on tables, the entry level jobs, are all kind of minimum wage jobs. With long hours, and therefore they go, oh, I don't fancy doing that. But like so many industries, I mean, all industries really, you have to start at the bottom. You enter an industry with no experience. So basically you've got nothing to offer until you've got some experience, if you see what I mean. So you have to work your way through it. But of course, there's also a real balance because as I said, you know, everybody uses hospitality. The problem is the more money you pay people, the more it costs to eat out or hire a hotel room or whatever. And therefore, you've got to find this balance where you don't price yourself out, but you also price yourself in, if you see what I mean.
Well, my expectation, talking to a lot of operators out there over the last month, is salaries are going to go up, prices are going to go up for the customer. I think in the immediate term, operating hours, we've already seen a trend where operating hours have reduced. Yeah. Something that came to my attention just yesterday is a hotel locally in Kent put a press release out, and I printed it out for today because I thought it was relevant, and it basically says, we're aware at this moment of exceptionally high demand in our restaurant and bar, that our service times have been slower than expected. We wholeheartedly apologise for this, and we're trying our level best to resolve the issue ASAP. We pride ourselves in ensuring your experience at our hotel is second to none, and we hope you can bear with us through this busy period. You may have read that there's a massive shortage of trained personnel across the industry at the moment. We're continuing our search for the very best staff to join our team, and if you think you're up to the challenge, check out the current vacancies on our website. And I thought that was quite a statement to put out there.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. The whole thing is a very delicate balance, and, you know, we have to try and manage our way through that at some point. And of course, it's not helped, like so many things, by government inaction with things. You know, government are great at passing regulations that say, don't do this, don't do that, give workplace pensions, don't tell anyone their email address, yada, yada, yada. But they don't do a lot to actually help when you try and, you know, when you're trying to do stuff. You know, from my point of view, in terms of talking about the hospitality industry, one of the things that does amaze me a little bit is that one of the big things, and Mark raised this, one of the things that's seen as a negative, I actually believe is a massive positive, and that is the working hours and flexibility. You know, so many people go, oh, well, the problem with hospitality, you know, working in a restaurant, you work until late at night, or you're working at weekends, or whatever, and you're doing shifts. But a huge number of people that I talk to are looking for flexible work. Yeah, they've got childcare to look after. They've got, you know, all kinds of other constraints on their life, and they're looking for flexible work. Well, if you want flexible work, you've got to be flexible.
Well, I think pre-pandemic, we saw a huge rise in gig economy, and that was driven by hospitality.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think it's a you know, it's as much a positive as it is a negative that says, well, look, we've got work available in the evening, so there's no childcare problems with you. You know, you know, you don't have to do the school run or anything to come to work. So, you know, one of the issues that I see with it is that, and this, it kind of counts with a lot of careers. I don't know if you know, I do a program in schools called 30-30, which is introducing A-level students to the world of work, and telling them all about the world of work. And of course, there's no reason why they should. And obviously, career teachers don't really know. Nobody really discusses the opportunities presented by working in an industry past the start point, if you see what I mean. Yeah, they go, right, well, you could get a job working in McDonald's and you could, you know, flip hamburgers. But one of the things I will say is, do you know, and everybody go, ha ha ha, that's funny. And you go, no, actually, McDonald's is a really good company to work for. Yeah. And what you don't realize is that just because you see some people flipping hamburgers, that isn't everything that McDonald's does.
Tell me, and I use myself as an example here, what industry out there can you come out of school? I've done my GCSEs. I don't know what I want to do. I go into hospitality, and now, as from a Saturday boy, I'm privileged to be the CEO of a global industry body.
Yeah.
That's frankly bonkers, and I'm still not understanding how that's happened myself. Yeah. But what other industry could you do that in?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Do you know what? Sorry to interrupt there, Robert.
No,
I was going to say, Robert, it's and I'll tell you why that is, and it's and you mentioned it earlier, Paul, on the opening, is that there is a different set of skills required to work in vocational roles such as hospitality, which is that's not founded in academia, but is founded in people and in communication. And there is no truer phrase than people buy from people. Yeah. You learn to communicate and you learn to get on with people, and then opportunities open up to you. And I'm in exactly the same boat as you. I started out as a carpet fitter and floor layer when I left school, and now I own my own and run my own business. And that is because coming through that leisure industry, you learn the craft of people. Yeah. And that is what keeps you in good stead. So I do believe it's a tapering in, a thin end of the wedge into something much better. But it's vision, isn't it? You've got, as a youngster, you know, you've got to have that vision of where it could go.
Absolutely. And of course, our youngsters and students don't have any experience in the world of work. You know, they're at school. Mm. So all they can go on is what they're fed. Mm. And of course, what they're fed by politicians and educators is, you know, well, you must get A-levels, you must get a degree, you must do this, you must do that. And everything else is seen as worthless or, you know, not serious. But we've suffered right across the board in all kinds of trades, not just the hospitality industry, construction, all kinds of trades, because we've been pushing more and more people into university, more and more people into doing academic degrees, and less people doing trade stuff and vocational stuff.
Let me ask you guys a question. So we've obviously had a huge shift of people overseas during the pandemic for various reasons. We've unarguably come out of the pandemic in a less advantageous place than when we started in terms of teams. And I do agree wholeheartedly, we need to profile in hospitality as an industry of choice. And I think we are in a position that we can do that, but that takes time. In terms of the immediate challenge, and that is filling our roles and getting our businesses open, what's your thoughts on bringing people back from the EU and looking at roles that way? Because that's an interesting debate that's been had recently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is one of the things that has been a bit weird here, isn't it? Because a huge number of people working in the hospitality industry have actually traditionally over the last couple of decades been overseas workers. And I guess there are a whole number of reasons for that. As Mark said earlier, certainly on the continent, in Europe, hospitality is seen as a much bigger career option than it is here. And a lot of people see that and want to gain experience on an international basis. So, you know, they'll go and work in the UK. They'll go, and, you know, if they're French, they'll work in Germany, the UK, Italy, or whatever. So they see that as part of their experience of growing in the industry. And of course, when we talk about salary levels, for a lot of East Europeans, the salaries offered in hospitality in the UK are much higher than they would get at home. So there's an opportunity for them. And we've kind of relied on that a little bit over the last couple of decades because it was easy to do. Now that route has been stopped, we're starting to see the ramifications of that. And of course, the big problem that we have here is that the tier two visas that the government have in place for importing overseas workers don't really work for hospitality.
No, not at all. And something the Institute of Hospitality is backing at the moment is a petition to Parliament to relax freedom of movement laws to enable the industry to recover. And I think in terms of immediately resolving the situation, that has a lot of validity. But long term, we need to educate everyone as to the value of hospitality.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's a double thing. Mark, I mean, from your point of view as a recruiter, in years gone by, prior to 2016, did you find a lot of the candidates you were sourcing were from overseas?
Yeah, absolutely. A real mixed bag. And I think we did, and the mix of that changes. So we had a lot of Eastern European, a lot of Polish workers, but then Poland increased their average living salaries, and we saw a portion of those Polish going back home again, because why not? Because they want to go back to their families and they can still kind of work and stuff and earn. But then since that pandemic, I think the ONS have reported that since March 2020, we had 300,000 hospitality workers leave the UK. That's a massive hole that we need to fill. And I do completely back what Robert said there about the government need to now act about and allow free passage for it's not just hospitality. Agriculture is the same, you know, these that rely heavily on foreign labour. Otherwise, I don't know how we're going to move out of this. Yeah. That's the problem.
It is a real problem, isn't it? Because, we're between a rock and a hard place, because a lot of the jobs, you know, as you just mentioned, in agriculture, the picking and packing jobs are minimum wage jobs. And one of the issues we have in the UK is fewer and fewer people will take minimum wage jobs. It's one of those funny political things that people don't really understand. Everybody moans about low wages, but less than 8% of the workforce are actually on less than a living wage. You know, 92% of workers earn more than a living wage in the UK. And the average wage in the UK is 30 grand. So, you know, it's something that people aren't aware of, and therefore it doesn't really get addressed.
I think one of the big things we have is attitudes. People look at hospitality with a view of 20 years ago, as you say, long hours, poor pay, which it really isn't.
Yeah.
Conversely, you have some employers that, and this isn't unique to hospitality, that have very old-fashioned views. I had a conversation with the CEO of a Kent-based hotel earlier in the year, and his view was, I don't give a this about time off, and I don't give a this about work-life balance. And you're standing there thinking, that is such an outdated view.
Yeah.
And now we have a talent shortage. Watch how quickly you're at the back of the queue for people wanting a job with you. Before this, yesterday, the big news was BrewDog, which the day before yesterday was an aspirational company. Today, it's certainly got some work to do PR-wise. And none of us are perfect, to be fair, but I think if you're not prioritising your people, you're really going to struggle right now. And making claims like the one I've just mentioned, well, that's great, but you are going to be very busy fulfilling the roles where the staff aren't there anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that is a huge message that people need to understand, that recruitment and employment is a two-way street. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Employers need to employ people with good quality skills and abilities and attitudes, and workers need to work for people and organizations that value them.
100%.
Absolutely. So it's a two-way street. You know, you get so many people go, oh, you know, that so-and-so, I applied for a job there. They were rubbish. They were horrible. And they wouldn't give me a job. And I go, so why would you want to work there?
What's my point? Why, as an employer, would you ever, ever, ever make the statement that you don't give a insert expletive about time off? You know, I don't give a insert expletive about work-life balance. If you're actually privileged to be an employer and you're making that statement, you have no right to be an employer.
It's nuts, isn't it?
But the phrase there is read the room, isn't it? The room. Look at why people have enjoyed the past year in certain capacities, because they've reevaluated what's important, work-life balance, more time with family. So people that have left hospitality to find a work-life balance in a different role is off of the back of them spending more time with their family. So if you're going to attract those people back into the industry again, you have to address that. You have to address that in the jobs that you're offering.
And there are some wonderful employers out there. And I think the poorer employers out there at the moment are doing a great job of highlighting the employers that we should aspire to be.
Yeah.
And there are some genuinely wonderful employers out there. You look at during the pandemic, all the good work that hospitality did whilst closed to support the NHS, support key workers, support the homeless. I think ours is probably one of the kindest industries out there. Yeah. But I think I'd issue a warning to employers that have those attitudes, because as you saw with BrewDog, it's very quick now that you will get found out and highlighted. And one WhatsApp message out of line will very quickly go viral on social media.
Yeah.
So I think prioritising your people is the next step to making hospitality a career of choice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, there are opportunities here. And I think as an industry, hospitality needs to up its game in terms of building its credibility, especially with young people coming into the marketplace, and just making people aware of the opportunities. You know, because there are, as you've both said, there are so many opportunities in hospitality in a broad range of things. You know, when I do stuff with students, I go, who would like to be the general manager of a place in Bali? And they all go, oh, yeah. And you go, right, well, start by waiting tables in Luton. And then in a couple of years time, you can do that. And they all go, oh, right. But that's the deal, isn't it? The deal is you know, there's an industry there with a career path that can take you all over the world and into some exotic places and jobs.
One thing I'm most proud of about the Institute of Hospitality is we offer a free service for our members called Mentor Me. Right. And you could be a first-year waiter in a hotel having a mentor that, as you say, is general manager of a hotel in Bali. The world is smaller now, and you're suddenly opening up that aspiration, and it's truly wonderful.
Yeah.
And I think that's why agency employment has become more attractive now over the years, because I think what it does is it gives freedom of those coming into the industry, perhaps, or even the time served experience guys that have been in jobs for a number of years that come out and find themselves seeking work, is that they can align themselves to an agency, a recruitment agency, and they can experience multiple locations and sectors within the industry that they perhaps wouldn't have considered before. This gives them exposure, maybe gives them a taste for something different. And I think that's where the value lies in what we do, is pushing them into perhaps jobs that they may not have considered before, and new career paths.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, we've run out of time. Fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much for that. Robert Richardson, the Chief Executive of the Institute of Hospitality. Mark Lowry, MD of 26 Recruitment. There's lots of opportunities in hospitality in the UK. There's flexible work, there's career paths. It's something worth looking at. It's something worth investigating for everybody. It's a people-orientated industry, and there's a lot going for it. So check it out. For the moment, thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us on the Business Bunker Extra Show. And we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being, and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.